An annual survey of child poverty indicates serious continuing challenges for kids and families here in Michigan. The 2016 Kids Count survey was conducted by the Michigan League for Public Policy based in Lansing. The League is emphasizing a sobering piece of data stemming from this year's report. It says that since 2006, child poverty has gone up in 80 of 83 Michigan counties. That, it says, leads to struggles in every other area of a child's life. This year marks the 25th Kids Count survey in Michigan. On its website, the Michigan League for Public Policy describes itself as a nonpartisan policy institute dedicated to economic opportunity for all. It says that all its work is done through a race equity lens. I asked survey director Alicia Guevara Warren if it's clear why child poverty has gone up in nearly every Michigan county in the past decade.
You know, I think there are a couple of different things going on here. One of them is, you know, we're in an economic recovery, but clearly we've left a lot of families behind in this. A lot of the jobs that have come along are going to require some sort of post-secondary training or credentialing in order to provide that stable, livable wage that families need. But we know that adult education is underutilized. The access is just, it's just not there. You know, we're not funding it to a level. Another thing that we know is that about a third of kids are living in a family where their parent has no secure employment. So what that means is we're seeing a lot of parents really having to piece together part-time work, seasonal work, you know, those types of jobs that don't necessarily provide that stability that you need.
How much on the average did child poverty go up in the 80 counties?
So it's probably about 22.5% is what we saw, and it ranged pretty strongly between a low of 2.2% in Houghton County to a high of 74.3% in Macomb County. And I think what is important to really emphasize is that the counties where we saw some of the largest increases is where the child poverty rate is actually lowest. So Livingston County, for instance, had the lowest child poverty rate but experienced a 42% increase in their child poverty rate.
What do you take from that?
I think that it just means that, you know, poverty is not, it's affecting everyone. It's not, you know, stopping. It doesn't matter. The economy is just not responding in a way that we need. And we're leaving families behind in all areas of the state.
And the poverty increase, the percentage of children in poverty represents, you gave us percentages, but that represents about how many kids?
So over 47,000 more kids are living in poverty from in 2014 compared to 2006.
We'll try to take a look at how Ingham County, for one, fared in the latest data. But first, explain for us how you measure child poverty. Are we talking entirely income-driven data here, or are there other factors that you look at?
So our poverty definition is based on what's provided by the Census Bureau. So it's all based on the federal poverty level on, you know, their income.
And what family income, family of four now here, what level of income marks the poverty line?
For a family of four, you're talking about $2,000 a month or close to $24,000 a year. And for a family of three, we're looking at $1,600 a month or about $19,000 a year.
You typically identify three measures of economic security, which is really at the heart of this. Tell us what those are, please.
So we look at, like you said, there are 16 different indicators across four domains, and the three under economic security are the number of children in poverty, the number of children, young children, who are eligible for food assistance, and then students who are eligible for free and reduced price lunch.
And how did the numbers break down here in our own backyard? You covered all 83 counties. How did Ingham County fare?
So overall, Ingham County is ranked 39th out of the 82 counties that we rank. The child poverty rate is higher than the state rate. It's at 23.7% for kids and ranks 42 out of the 82 counties. But what I think is important to kind of look at is where, you know, the state's child poverty rate increased by 23%. What we saw was that Ingham County's poverty rate only increased by 10%. So even though there are more kids living in poverty generally here in Ingham County, the rate from 2006 to 2014 didn't increase as much as the state rate did.
Now, do you consider, we'll get to some policy recommendations here in a second, Alicia, but is this a result, in your view, of underinvestment or possibly misguided investment? Have not enough state dollars been invested in this, or have the dollars that have been invested been poorly invested?
So I think we have a couple of big examples recently where we've received a lot of national attention around the Flint water crisis, the deplorable conditions in our, you know, the Detroit public schools. And I think what we're seeing is that policymakers have just been so focused on the bottom line, you know, reducing spending, that we've put ourselves in a place where, you know, basic services like clean water and safe schools have really suffered as a result of that. One thing we can point at specifically when we're looking at, you know, investing in our communities, we're currently underfunding as a state, underfunding our local governments by about 70%. So, you know, that really points to what are our priorities. You know, our budget is our strongest expression of what our priorities are as a state. And that's just one of many things that I can say we're, you know, we're underfunding.
You make your recommendations, which are well and good and understandable, but has Flint shaken your confidence in government as a solution to these problems?
I think, you know, it's definitely, it does make you question some things, but I think it also provides for an opportunity for us to recognize that, you know, we need to be investing in our communities because that's, you know, important. I think it provides that real example that, you know, we need to be doing something, because if not, you know, Flint is just the beginning and we're going to see other communities experiencing similar things because, you know, a lot of communities are under financial distress.
We're discussing the latest Kids Count data from the Michigan League for Public Policy, child poverty data here in Michigan. Alicia Guevara-Warren is project director of Kids Count. So let's review a few of the policy recommendations. You mentioned the importance of investing in communities. How exactly?
So we're talking about investing in communities to create safe neighborhoods, clean air, drinking water, affordable housing, reliable public transportation, you know, really looking at how we can fully fund local governments to be able to provide these basic services. There are so many things that influence a child's development, and where they live is a really big part of that, you know, thinking about putting yourself in somebody's shoes. If they're, you know, feeling unsafe as they walk to school, that stress of that, then it's carried into the classroom. And, you know, there are so many things that cause that stress for a child and really impact their development and well-being.
You suggest strengthening policies that support work.
Yep. So what we really look at in all of our policies, really to improve the well-being of kids, we know that one of the best ways to do that is to help parents, right? So helping parents to really help kids. And part of that, that's that two-generation approach. So we know that by strengthening work policies like the earned income tax credit, it's a proven poverty reduction tool that we here in the state cut back our state-level EITC in 2011 to 6% from 20%, which, you know, is kind of a step backwards when we look at national trends around state-level EITCs. This is a policy that reduces poverty and encourages work. So trying to continue to talk about how we can go back to a 20% of the federal EITC level. And then also looking at workforce development opportunities. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the jobs that provide that livable wage are going to require some sort of post-secondary training or credentialing. So how can we help parents go back and get the skills that they need? And then also thinking about our youth to be able to get those skills that they need to get those types of jobs. So whether that's through, you know, funding expanded adult education funding or other types of, you know, flexibility for our youth to be able to start, you know, acquiring college credits or, you know, that technical training ahead of time while they're in high school.
Child abuse, preventing child abuse and neglect is also a piece of this, and this involves one of your recommendations. Tell us more.
So what we've seen at the state level is, you know, under the children's rights lawsuit, the state has focused a lot of attention on the foster care end. So we've seen some pretty good improvements. We're actually seeing a reduction of 31% in the rate of children placed in out-of-home care due to abuse and neglect. But what we're seeing instead are some trends in the wrong direction around the rate of children living in families investigated for child abuse and neglect, and then also an increase in the rate of children who are confirmed victims of abuse or neglect. So to me, when we look at those three indicators alone, we know that if we focus our policy efforts, which we've done on our foster care, we can make some improvements. And so we have, I think by putting a lot of our resource on the back end, we've neglected to talk about how we can actually prevent child abuse and neglect from happening. So looking at, you know, home visitation programs that really help young, you know, families get those parenting skills that they need, connect them to the resources that are going to help them and support them. Also thinking about how mental health plays a big role in a parent's ability to parent, and substance abuse issues is another big issue.
Alicia Guevara Warren is our guest. She is the project director of Kids Count for 2016 here in Michigan. She is out of the Michigan League for Public Policy here in Lansing. You take policymakers to task in your press release. I won't quote it, but I mean, you do make your views pretty clear about that. In your view, what is it that prevents more elected officials from taking the kind of action and making the kind of commitment that you think is necessary?
You know, part of that, I would say, is just, you know, the structure that we have right now. Term limits, I think, has played an enormous, it's had an enormous impact on kind of that long-term piece that goes into this. You know, you have people there, it makes it tougher to understand the issues as we have more people, that high turnover rate. But I think that, again, this kind of goes back to overall, we've just been so focused on reducing spending and reducing the role that government plays in the well-being of our citizens that it's a philosophical difference, I think, that's happening.
Can government solve poverty, Alicia, or is the problem bigger than government?
You know, I think that there are a lot of things that policymakers and community leaders can do to solve the issue, but I think that, you know, government has a responsibility to ensure the well-being of kids, and poverty has a big impact in that. And we continue to see an unacceptably high number of kids living in poverty. And if we don't start addressing child poverty, we're not going to see the improvements that we want to see as a state in education, health, or child welfare. So I do absolutely think that, you know, government has a role to play in trying to reduce poverty.
Are there any encouraging parts of the new report?
Yes. So when we look at the percent of births to teens, we've seen a significant reduction. Over the past 20 years, we've seen a 40% reduction across the board for all race and ethnicities. So it's a big deal that we've done this. When we look at the trend book, you know, the trends from the data book, we see a 23% rate decrease from 2006 compared to 2014. So it's a pretty big deal that we're making, you know, that improvement.
What accounts for that?
I think what we've seen is just there's been a focus across the country as far as programming and funding around youth development programs, sex education. There's been a number of things at the federal level that we've funded, and I think that that's been really helpful. And we've really looked at, I think generally in a lot of areas, using evidence-based practices, using what works. And so that's really important.
We've been discussing the latest Kids Count data from the Michigan League for Public Policy, child poverty data, the latest here for Michigan, all 83 counties. Alicia Guevara Warren is project director of Kids Count. Thanks for the update.
Thank you so much.